Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch Two Prison. One, a Rennie Harlan film from 1987. The second, a film that came out this year and exclusive on Netflix. All on today's Neck and the Only One Popcorn.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Yes. Welcome to the There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the same title, determine if either one needs to change their title, or both need to change the title. Then we give them a few suggestions, you know, as to, like, butter them up to come on our side. My name is Robert Brown, and joining me today is
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
We are recording the day before Thanksgiving.
Yay.
2017. This is just assuming we can actually get it out in 2017.
It'd be funny. You ever think about that 30, 40 years from now? You know, you might have grandkids or whatnot.
Right.
And you'd be like, yeah, you know, I used to do a podcast. It's like, what's a podcast?
You know? We know, Grams. You did like 50 podcasts. This was the one that was the least successful. It was the one after this that everyone loved. We know.
I think we did better than Family Dinner Podcast.
You think? What? Calling out the FDP. What? How dare you?
Yeah. All they're going to do is improv on me or something.
Sure, sure. We ended up watching one film so far in this series, but it turns out Netflix has just been buying up a lot of properties overseas that has similar titles to things that exist out there. There's actually a bevy of choices to choose from. There is The Killer that just got released on Netflix. There is a Bluebeard, and this film, Prison. And The Prison, leaving an article out for one of them. The first one came out in 1987. It was the first film directed by Rennie Harlan, and it stars Viggo Mortensen and a cast of very recognizable faces playing bit parts. There's Tiny Lister that's in this. Yes, that's one of them. The warden was the prosecutor in My Cousin Vinny.
No, I remember him from Distinguished Gentleman. You know, Tricky Dick.
Yes, but he was the guy. He was the guy that was trying to prosecute Ralph Macchio. That's just as memorable.
I think he's more famous for Distinguished Gentleman.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
And then you had the woman in this. She was the wife in Harley Davidson, The Marlboro Man, and the wife in The Last Boy Scout, and other appearances as well.
She was the wife in The Last Boy Scout?
She was She looked, Bruce Willis's wife.
She looked way older. Like, this movie looked, no, okay. I know that sounds crazy. But the movie was filmed like in 86, and The Last Boy Scout came out, what, 92?
93. It was filmed in 86, but it was released in 87.
Yeah.
But Last Boy Scout would have been like a 93, 94 kind of movie.
And in this movie, she looked 20-ish, and The Last Boy Scout should look 40-ish. I'm just saying.
Bruce Willis will do that to you, man. don't be insulting. So before we get started, let's go ahead and play the trailer for the first movie that we saw, because it's so darn interesting, and we might not actually have a good trailer for the second one because it's in another language, but rest assured, we'll have something in between. Stay tuned.
Enter another world.
We're just hanging around this slaughterhouse waiting for Carter.
Sir, the power's down all over the prison.
Where something is trapped in the dark.
Something grab hold of me.
Some things just won't stay buried.
It's something evil.
I summon the creature of darkness.
It's something inhuman.
What's happening in there?
And it's waiting for someone.
Come forth and show yourself!
To open the door. Now the evil is loose and there is no escape.
And we're back.
Oh damn, I missed my cue.
Yep.
Shit.
All right, so this was the movie that got Rennie Harlan in the door. If you do not know who this dude is, he ended up directing Die Hard 2, The Fourth Nightmare on Elm Street, Deep Blue Sea. I was looking up the catalog. He actually directed The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, 12 Rounds, Cutthroat Island.
I liked that movie.
The Long Kiss Goodnight. And
really loved that movie.
And he ended up doing a total of 30 movies. The last one he did was called Skip Trace with Jackie Chan and Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, you ropes. Put that on for a second.
Yeah.
One of our poker nights, but I never finished watching it.
Right. He still wants to make movies, but he's got like a budget that he, it looks like he wants to hit at each one of them. This one, it definitely was working with a bare minimum of budgets, but that was what got everybody intrigued by this man. He was, like when this was made, it was 87, he was like 28 at the time when he made this, so he was just
he
a
He was living out of his car when they approached him to direct this movie.
Yeah, I think he's from like one of the Scandinavian countries, and he just came to Hollywood and he wanted to make movies, and they said, here you go. And he's like, okay. And then he just started making a ton of them, and then caught the eye of a young Gina Davis and said, we're going to make sweet, beautiful music together and maybe a couple of movies, and that's about it.
Do you think people could still do that now? I mean, you always hear stories about the in the 80s and early 90s about how people was basically living out their car and, you know, was able to get in. Just go out there with no kind of idea, no kind of background, no kind of education, and get into movies.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do that.
Okay.
I think the first step's usually like YouTube, getting on another entertainment platform and then getting your foot in the door of.
Well, I would argue that YouTube is kind of like, you know, practicing your craft a little bit, you know? So, I mean, I'm just saying about just like Rennie just went out there with he didn't have no kind of like stock footage or anything he did in his home country, no 8mm, nothing like that. No,
you think
know.
That's what people look at these days? It's just watching like what you did in your home country? Okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You're right. You don't know.
That's what I'm asking.
He got through with moxie. That's all it took, man.
Moxie?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the attitude, man. It's getting you into this thing. It's not like, hey, we'll pick this guy, this homeless dude. Maybe he can do something.
You sure that's not the way it went? Trading Places was a true story.
Was it?
Yes.
It was about two dudes that got Eddie Murphy famous. Is that how that worked?
Nah. They just picked up somebody off the street.
All right. So this prison is set 20-something years after like the opening credits where you see like the main character, the warden, putting like this guy to death. And you don't know the circumstances, but it's definitely one of those things that like I guess they decide to close the prison afterwards because they're like, ugh, I feel bad about this. He ended up going from being a guard to the main warden. And this prison had been shut down for a while, but they were trying to build a new one. And they said, ugh, we're not done building it yet. So I guess we got to start putting prisoners in this old one. And they're like, they had this one lady who's like, no, I don't want this. And they're like, you got to deal with it. Suck it up. That's basically how it went. And she is now the, I guess, like the human resources of this prison. So that's I think her name was Miss Walker in this thing. I don't remember exactly.
Catherine Walker.
Yeah, it was Miss Walker. Yeah, they kept calling her Walker in this. And
no relations
to
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Why would it be a relation to her like that as opposed to like another Walker out there? Like, come on. Come on with some other Walkers. You know.
Christopher Walker.
Cross Walker.
Jay Walker.
Yeah, see? Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Herman, it takes a while for you to come up with this stuff because it's not, you can't get it right off the top of your tongue, man. You got to let those, you got to find the deep nuggets of gold for like your dad jokes. You can't just immediately go with whatever's on the top, man. You got to dig deeper.
Because
it's too goddamn easy, man.
Well, you got to think about it.
No, I don't.
My audience is 17, whoa, hold on. 16, and 12 years old. So
he doesn't even call his children his children, his audience.
Yes. My experiments.
Despicable.
Experiments, you know.
Yeah, experiments. Sure, yeah. Okay. This prison just opens up again, and Viggo Mortensen is one of many of the prisoners, but it's the one that everybody catches the eye of. Oh, one of the guards ended up being Keanu Reeves' dad in the Bill and Ted series. Did you recognize that?
Yeah, the asshole. Yeah, okay.
It was the dad, yeah.
So, he was the asshole in Bill and Ted, too.
They're doing everything possible to keep these prisoners in line. This guy's like making sure everything's like, but prison's meant to keep prisoners in prison, sort of thing. Like, and but Miss Walker's like, I think we should rehabilitate. And he's like, and he like spits on the ground, sort of thing. Turns out, as they're building this, like they're opening this up, it unleashes something that has been hiding and festering in this prison for years, and it's causing him to basically kill anything and everything that I guess disturbs it. Like he does not care for any sort of real reason why one person should live and one person should die. Like everybody, it's very undiscriminating. It just goes after whoever it feels like. And you have the very basic horror motif of it just starts eliminating people one by one. But in this case, no one can leave. There's not a moment where it's like, hey, maybe we should go. No, it's pretty much like, oh, you're kind of stuck here. And then you eventually find out the real reason why this prison is woken up. It turns out that the person that the warden killed so many years ago has a strong resemblance to Viggo Mortensen today. And they, it causes like the two people associated with it to basically say are bad sort of thing, and try to get away from it. But oh man, they die in very spectacular form. This movie likes to rub it in on the deaths. There's some pretty decent gory deaths for a low budget movie that this was.
I don't think it was so much low budget. It was, I mean, for 1986. It was budgeted at $4 million.
Right. That's low budget, dude.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
In that time?
Yeah, totally, man.
Isn't $4 million like $20 million now?
Still low budget, dude.
Okay. My bad, Robert. I know you're so high maintenance. That's low budget. I know you're so high maintenance.
And in 87, that's 30 years ago. Did you type that in? You're what? The only one on your computer, man. Check
no,
it out.
I didn't
what
type
is $4 million in 1987 all right, worth now? All right, it's probably only worth about like $12 million. You probably did
12
you?
Million? No, I didn't. I didn't. I just went by. I just went by like minimum wage was like $3.25 or $3.75 back then.
I guess. I don't know. What's minimum wage now?
Boy, damn. I'm glad I guess $7.25 in Louisiana. I know people in San Francisco and New York is a little bit higher. Maybe we should move there.
So 1987 dollars in 2000. No, it doesn't give me whenever I type. Do your own thing. Quit looking at my shit. Read your own damn paper. Leave me alone.
Well, I'm just making sure you do it right. Let me see. $4 million in 1987. That's how you got to talk it out, you know. And it's worth. Let's see. I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
It's worth $8 million today.
That's it?
Yes, that's it.
Damn.
Why don't you know? It's just the inflation calculator. That's all it is, man.
Well, man, it's all Google.
No, it isn't.
It's all Google anyway.
Herman, you're the one that has, like, established a bar that I am trying to either set or not set in this case. Mm-hmm. And the bar is like, this is required work.
Well,
I don't care.
Well, no, I'm trying to downplay it because I was like $20 million and now you say $8 million. That's like, whoa, I was way off. So I'm just trying to move on.
All right, fine.
Yes.
Fair enough. Still, it led them to do other big budget movies. Especially since a lot of the ones like that Hercules film he did from a couple years ago, I think cost like $50 million. It almost looks like he's now turned into a director for some sort of money front or whatever.
Which Hercules one did he do? The one with The Rock the one with? Oh
no.
Yeah, he did the other one.
He did the other one.
Oh Lord,
yeah,
Rennie.
You have disappointed Herman because he found out information, not because of otherwise. So, no, really, we actually enjoyed this movie. This was a pretty decent movie.
Yeah,
we haven't watched the second one, but I think this one might be a little bit better than the other one. Who knows? The other one seems very generic in the execution, but we'll find out soon enough. But more importantly, do we have another title for this movie? Because I've got a great one.
No,
let's see
man,
what Herman's come up with. The Herman calculator comes up and he goes.
No, prison seemed pretty good. Pretty awesome name for this movie so far. I'm just saying.
Sure, it takes place in a prison, but it doesn't give you the thought of what is going to occur because that's the thing with most horror films. You don't just say the thing that's going to happen. It's not like when we had House, you don't want it to be called House. You want it to be called something more horrific to get people in the
okay,
door.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Well, the electrocutioner.
Sure.
Why not? The electrocutioner.
That barely happens in the movie. No, this is exactly what it should be called. It should be called Prison, but with the P lowercase and the R uppercase. So Prison, as in risen.
What the hell?
But you know, risen, you know, like instead of prison, so you make it look like he has risen from the grave, which is exactly what happens in this movie. You can't tell me that ain't fucking clever, because that is the cleverest thing I've come up with in years.
Okay.
Don't even look at me funny on that. That's a great title for this thing. It should still be called Prison, but the emphasis put on the R instead of the P and misspell prison, so it had to be with two I's instead of an I and an O.
I've been told I was being negative, so I'm going to be positive and say, Robert, that do sound like a pretty good title.
Whatever. Electrocutioner.
No, but I was going to say, though, I was wondering why I have not seen this movie growing up, because I was like into these kind of movies. Kane Hodder, the dude who played Jason in some movies, he was stunt director on this movie. Basically, Empire Films went bankrupt before this movie could come out.
Right.
That's what took us so long to come out. And when it did come out, it only released in 42 theaters.
Right.
Made like $300,000+. So didn't get back his money. But damn, if y'all could go out and find this movie, it's a good catch.
It's on YouTube, man. You don't have to go out and find it. YouTube finds all this shit. And if the ad that they had for this, the trailer, it's bought up by Shout Factory. But if you can probably find a copy of it over on the Shout Factory website. The good prolificators of other great movies of this 80s/90s ilk that come out. But overall, good movie and very enjoyable. So we've only got the other film to choose from now. This is I think it's from South Korea. It's 2 hours long. And probably we're not going to finish this in this week. We're definitely not finishing it tonight because it is getting pretty late. Because I insisted on watching an LSU game instead of starting this. I was like,
it's cool.
They're going to be great forever. And no, they weren't. We turned it off with about 6 minutes left to go.
Yeah.
It's just even without work tomorrow, I know I lose concentration and my ability to have a cognitive thought in these sort of things.
I was about to say cognitive.
Yeah, I almost did. Yeah. Came very close. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're gonna play some sort of trailer in front of this one. I have a hard time putting the ones that are in different languages.
I think our audience understand Korea pretty good.
I would prefer to just make a quick transition so we at least know that it's going to be another movie than what we just watched. That's about it. That's all I'm concerned with at this point.
Thought about playing a K-pop band?
Yeah, sure, why not? I will put in Gangnam Style, and that'll work as well. I don't think anybody knows any other K-pop than that.
No, I do.
Do you?
Well, I listen to it with my daughter trying to be supportive.
Oh, okay. She likes K-pop?
Yes.
A lot?
Not a lot, but like surprisingly, I was like, boy, really diversified.
Do they come here? Huh? Do they tour within driving distance so you could watch them?
No, I think she said they're going to be at Warped Tour next year because it's the last year of Warped Tour. Have you ever heard of Warped Tour?
Yeah, it used to be something that it was more of a skater thing, like skater and punk.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Vans. Next year is the last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think she said Katy Perry is going to do it or something. Somebody big she was telling me about. And I was like, yeah, cool.
I wasn't listening to her. I was trying to think of a dad joke. I don't care.
So she ever listened to this episode. I listened to everything you say, baby.
Sure.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to go back, and it'll feel like nothing has changed, even though we will be so much older when this next...
So much wiser.
Yes, of course. So we're going to play...
I will be older, too, actually.
Yeah, of course. Everybody will be. I'm just older listening to this right now. All right, so we'll be back.
Later.
Jail. Hi, Dad. Happy birthday. I'm in jail.
Hey, back. Woo! Yay.
You got in on me, huh?
I didn't have to get it on you, man. I'm the master.
I handle
my shit. That's what I do, man.
It helps that you actually on the control board doing that, you know, and you know when the button is exactly
one day Herman will be in control of everything.
I will
pass it down to my apprentice and he will become the master. And he will be able to control all the boards and be able to post everything online as opposed to me. And his mixing qualities will be superb.
Yes.
Beyond reproach. Like, as a podcast man, he will be admired and hated by millions of people because of his skills. If he just learns to wield the craft in his hand like the samurai that he is on these things. Am I right?
You're totally right. I will do all of that. All right,
so we just watched The Prison. It is a string of Korean films that Netflix has gotten a hold of that all came out this year. Mm-hmm. There's two other ones. One they suggested right after this one was The Killer, and then there was another one that came out earlier this year called Bluebeard. All three fall underneath the criteria that we have for this show. So do you feel that based off the trailers I saw of all of them, this was the one I felt like probably had the most potential. But do you feel this was a good opening into a bevy of Korean movies that we could do?
Yes, I do. This it kept you hooked into it from the beginning to me. I mean, the acting was superb. I mean, the main antagonist in this movie, he just gets you hooked. His I want to call it charisma, you know, like he was very charismatic on screen. He's a bad guy, but you're kind of rooting for him at the beginning and stuff until you really get into how bad he really is.
So we don't have to go too much into the plot because the plot's pretty simple. It's you have this dude who is a cop who's considered, they call him the Grim Reaper. Like, he's without a doubt like the guy that if he's going to catch somebody, this is the guy that's going to do it, because once he's brought onto a case and he won't let go, sort of thing. Well, he's in jail now.
Yes.
So the tides have turned.
Yeah, he won't let go so much. He want to go after them while they're in jail.
Yeah, he goes to a jail that's filled with prisoners that he has put away and has to deal with them immediately. Like, they have immediate antagonists. And you find out very soon that there's, like, this one guy at the top where you've seen movies with prisons where they have, like, a gang that controls like various parts. Well, this guy is above all the gangs. Like, he considers himself the head enchirito. He is the guy that you just don't mess with. He is the bon mot of anything that you would be touching in these prison affairs.
The king of kings.
Yeah, they call him the king in this thing.
Yeah,
I think he had his own name, but we're going with the easy to remember names as opposed to the other ones. So, He decides, well, if I'm going to be in prison, I might as well be best friends with this guy, because he is the person that seems to make everything a lot easier. To the point where he finds out this guy is not only controlling this prison, but he is doing things outside of prison with the help of people that are locked up, getting making their alibis as tight as possible. You saw Logan Lucky, right?
No, I meant that's on my list. I meant to watch that this past weekend.
That's one of the things that they used in Logan Lucky, because Daniel Craig is locked up, but they know him as a demolition expert, so they needed him.
Yeah.
So he has the ultimate alibi as well, because he's in prison. So yeah. So that's one of the guys that they use in there. So it just things reminded me of this. So this movie's a little over 2 hours long, so you have a lot of dealing with stuff that happens in prison, like him working his way up to this point, him bonding with this guy, and then the ultimate like turn of events where you find out about the real intentions of everybody involved. And we don't have to go too far into this.
No, go watch it. That's how you find out.
Yeah, yeah. You know? This I think both the movies that we watched were actually worth watching. I think this one's a little bit better than the one that we saw with the Rennie Harlan, but there's nothing wrong with the Rennie Harlan movie. It's it for its time and budget. I think it was a fine movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I go with this one just a little bit because it's more, I guess, recent, but the Remy Harlan film definitely was worth the watch also.
Yeah, you could tell why they picked him up for the fourth in Nightmare on Elm Street. Like they're saying, this guy's got moxie. We need him. We need him to make Freddy do weird shit in killing kids, which is basically all of them. I don't think I've ever seen a single Nightmare on Elm Street all the way through except the first one. That's the only one I've seen that I can say that I've seen it all the way through.
Did you see the reboot?
Yeah, actually, I saw that one in theater, but I don't count that one.
Yeah, I know, but have you seen the reboot? To me, the reboot, I'm not going to get into it, but it kind of made me like, oh, I don't think I want to root for Freddy no more because he's really, really is a bad guy.
Oh, because they threw the whole pedophile?
Yeah. I was like, they didn't really hint to that in the, you know, in the original ones, but the reboot was like, yeah, okay.
Is that how they went? Yeah. Is that your Freddy impression? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm Freddy. I'm going to beat you up with my claws. My mighty claws.
Yes.
Just like everything he does. No,
speaking of claws, I'm probably going to watch Edward Scissorhands soon.
Oh, well, yeah. Hopefully it's tonight because this is going to get released. We'll see if it gets released on Friday. Mm-hmm. This is the next one on the line, but we'll see. So, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought this was definitely one of those movies that people probably won't watch just because it's a foreign language film. But this seems to be a growing trend in Korea specifically to have movies named after movies in America. This is not the only one that, even the three that we list, those aren't the only ones either. There was another one on the list of movies that came out this year called, what's the name of the Marilyn Monroe movie that... where the guy's dressed up as women. I'm blanking on that. It's not 7 Year Itch. It's
Some Like It Hot?
Yeah, they called it Some Like It Hot. Like, they're not even trying to hide the fact that these are movies that... Now, to be fair, I don't think they've heard of the prison that was here.
Yeah.
Like, out of all the movies that we chose. But Bluebeard is a very prominent, folk tale and has been adapted into movies. The Bluebeard that they have on this on Netflix has nothing to do with the folktale, so I guess that's fine. But the killer, geez Louise, I mean that's not us, but that's the biggest import in China. Like if you were to pick a movie from China that you would think that most people have heard of, that's the one at the top of the list. I would say the killer beats a lot of other movies.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That's not from China.
Oh.
I wouldn't say it's from China. They financed it over here. I mean, it might be in Chinese, but it was a American production.
Kung Fu Hustle?
Sure, why not? it was like the second film that Criterion ever put on their list. Like I don't remember what the first one is, but that like it, whenever I got into eBay, that was the
What movie you talking about? Was on
The Killer?
Oh, The Killer. Okay, yeah.
Whenever I got into getting stuff from eBay, that was the one that I wanted more than anything. And I will tell you that the Criterion copy I have of The Killer might be a fake, but I have a copy of Criterion.
Wait, you bootleg a movie from China?
No, it's not. And it's not from China. It's just someone messaged me and offered me $40 for it, and that was way less than what the price was going for it. So I said sure. And when I got it, it looked great. So I, as far as I'm concerned, it's authentic, but it's probably not authentic.
But why would you pay $40 for a movie you could just check out from
the library? That's Criterion. This is the time when you bought DVDs anyway. Whenever I bought this would have been, maybe 15 years ago.
Okay.
Whenever I did this, like when you first got onto eBay, that was like the first. That's what I always looked for were movies specifically that I had a hard time finding. Like out of print stuff. So there were three on the list that I would constantly try to get, as opposed to trying to get Star Wars CCG cards, which were the only the other thing I was trying to get. It was The Killer, Hard Boiled, and The Last Days of Disco, because all three of those were movies that were out of print DVDs and were hard for me to find. I actually found The Last Days of Disco in a used DVD shop in Kentucky, because it was just one of the, I was on a family trip. It was like one of the five shops I walked into, and I got it, and I went, yay, and I got it. Like, that's one of those things to pass the time. I always wanted to use DVD places to find, like, for Riff Track movies. Yeah. All the Riff Tracks that you see over there above the mantel place, those are all from movies that I found at used DVD stores and put them together and made a movie out of it. So that, like, that, those were, I guess, projects that I had done, because the process to put it onto the movie takes about 3 or 4 hours.
Well, you got to have hobbies in life.
That was my shitty ass hobby that meant nothing to anybody else that I did for the longest time, and that is the story of The Prisoner. So that,
yes.
That is exactly what we were talking about, and that is the story of The Prisoner.
So, getting back to the minutia of this show, do you have any other names for this movie?
I do, and it's going to be cheating just like the first one, too.
It's going to be cheating just like the first one?
Prison. I didn't mean The Prisoner, but yeah, the first one, I said prison, as, you know, like, emphasizing the risen part of it, just because it'll still call prison, but, you know, it's about something rising. I would put prison in quotes in this one. The prison, and okay, put it in quotes. That would be my cheating on this.
I don't think anything I got that came to mind. Like, the relationship with the protagonist and antagonist made me think of frenemies.
Grim Reaper and the King. That is all you had to say for these two dudes. It's pretty simple, man.
Frenemies.
like a keep your enemies close sort of situation.
Hard
thing.
Alibi.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, nah.
Hail to the King, baby. I understand why they decided to call this a prison. This reminded me a lot of Get the Gringo. Did you ever see that with?
Oh yeah, a very underrated movie. Maybe
I wouldn't say it's underrated. It's I'd say it has a good fun first half, and then the second half gets very confusing.
Okay.
I didn't follow it. I just assume, I guess we're still following Mel Gibson and cheering on him, but it
I think the movie hurt because of Mel. Mel Gibson was good in it. It just was at the time when he was going through his scandal this time.
But you had a living and breathing prison that was its own character, and I felt like this almost felt that, like, it fit the same bill, because they did pretty much consider this like a unique experience than any other prisons that exist. Not only in Korea, but in the world. So I like the way that they treated everything in this as its own character, him having to deal with it. And especially the big ending, whenever, like, everything else was going on with the movie.
Now, I kept on trying to think, because I want to say either at Fantastic Fest, and by the way, you know this film was actually entered into the Brussels Fantastic Fest film?
No kidding.
Yeah, that's what tripped me. I was like... But anyway, I kept thinking, like, either Fantastic Facts or one of the movies that we don't watch on the show remind me of another prison South Korean film that we watched, where the undercover cop went to jail and befriended a gangster in there, and they got out together.
Right.
And then, like, he, the gangster found out he was a cop, but at the end he didn't kill him at the end. It was a Fantastic Facts. I just can't get the damn name of it.
It might not have been a movie I saw, so it's tough for me to remember what it was.
But my thing is South Korea bad? Because, like, they have a lot of... Maybe we just don't watch
bad?
We don't watch a lot of prison films from South Korea, and I'm just wondering, or do they have a high crime rate?
No. You saw the movie was... you could tell, like, this was a throwback movie. Like, they set this in 95, so you could... cut out, like, with the cell phones and shit. Like, everybody's reading a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You even have it... Like, this was made specifically for a Korean audience. Like, they didn't... Like, when they fought, like, tooth and nail. This wasn't, like, your...
Chris choreography and stuff.
You didn't have, like, the stuff that most foreign audiences insist on having. Like, you feel like... that there's movies like The Raid that set a precedent for all the other movies that exist out there. So when another movie comes along that's going to have a lot of fighting in it, then you have to top The Raid. Well, they made this more of a character study And more importantly, this was definitely meant more for Korean audiences. And I also like the fact that this was set in the 90s, so you didn't have to deal with, like, that whole cell phone angle. Like, okay. Everything about it was had that whole 90s action feel to it. Even, like, as a way of saying, like, this is our tribute to 90s action films from America. That's basically what this feels like. This was a Tango and Cash, but only Tango was in this. Tango, no cash, is what this was. You can call that for the title, Tango, no cash. Yeah, I'm sure everybody in Korea would get that reference. That makes sense. I still like the prison with quotes, prison in the quotes part. So I feel like we really didn't change the title of either one of these movies.
No, but I feel like we had two good, enjoyable movies, which doesn't happen on this podcast too much.
No. And I'm not saying that I try to make Herman watch bad movies, but this is what happens when a newer film decides to name itself after an older film. The older film sucks, or it's just a film that no one's ever seen, so they feel like they can get away with calling it whatever they feel like. So you tend to run into movies that aren't as good. And it's the reason why we just don't go with movies just because they have the same title. Like, there's a couple of films out there that have come out recently, like Unforgettable's one that came out recently, that I just don't want to see that. Like, I already know it's going to be a film I'm not going to like. We don't have to set the bar for every film that decides to try to rename itself after something.
Yeah, plus I don't want it to be forgettable, you know?
Oh. Yeah. There's Herman with that quick wit again. Sorry, you're trying to steal my board again? No, you're not.
Yes.
Leave my mixing board alone, Herman.
But
it should only be touched by Robert's hands. Leave it alone. I will keep my precious. You can't have it.
But this was good. You know, the movie made $23 million overseas.
Well, yeah, sure. Like I said, they weren't aiming for us. But you know what's great?
What?
They did release it in theaters around here. So it's a movie I saw from 2017. It made like $40,000 in the U.S. That is like all I need. I'm seeing the slow trickle of movies that are coming out from that we saw at Fantastic Fest being released around here. Like Thelma got released around here, so I can add that to the list. When I saw that was in theaters, I was like, yes,
I was just looking
another
on,
one I watched.
I was just looking on that list from Fantastic Fest because I was trying to remember the movie. And I came across a couple of the short films that was really entertainable that I forgot they got the name of the short film out so I could pull that up online and try to like force my friends like, hey, watch this.
Sometimes you can find it. Vimeo is like the best source for those things. Usually they go like in through other festival circuits, so you might have to give it like about 8 or 10 months before you see it, but a lot of times it'll just pop up. Like you have to go looking for it. That's the best way that you can find them, unfortunately. But no, yeah, I agree. I think we had like a good run of films, these two. So I'm gonna break Herman on the next one, whatever that may be. Yeah. There's other films out there that are gonna be pure shit that here Herman's gonna be forced to watch. Yes, and so I can keep my streak up. Woo!
What about The Fine Ones? You heard about that one?
No.
Okay, there's an old movie called The Fine Ones, but there's also a new documentary that came out.
Oh, no. Yeah. Why are we doing the documentaries, man?
I know, I just bring it
up. You don't want
to
watch that Renee Zellweger film that I keep harping about that's the same title as a John Mulaney special? Because that holds a special place in my heart.
What's the film you're talking about?
New in Town. Those are the two. I've had New in Town on my persons for a while. The other one's on available on Amazon.
That sounds like a romantic comedy.
Sort of.
Oh,
she's like a Midwest. I've shown you the trailer for that thing. In fact, here's the trailer now. No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to put it on this one. I am trying to just eke out like another minute or two. I feel like this is because we're almost at our normal length of movie, like for these podcasts. Like, just eke out another minute or two while we're talking about this, so we can talk about, I guess, the process of me finding this stuff. But
how you go about finding this?
I just you know, normal ways because I'm awesome. You know, I get awesome. Sent in. Uh-huh. You know, it's funny. No one has actually sent in like two movies that we haven't already done.
Have people ever seen you stuff?
Yeah, I have had people send me things. The only person that's worked for is Hatfield when he sent me those two versions of Standoff.
Yes.
But every other time he sent me a list of movies that he found, I had to say, oh, we already did that. Oh, I guess you didn't hear that one. So
I like Hatfield. Like the guy, like, oh, y'all still doing that? Y'all still doing your podcast? Oh, well, how about this? And we'd be like, yeah, we did that like 50 podcasts ago.
Yeah.
Really? Y'all been doing it that long? Dang.
We should do that with trivia questions with them.
Yeah.
Hey, if you ask that question about like Popeyes, is it, if it came from like the Popeye cartoon, huh? Did you ask that question?
You already asked about five times. Why don't you ask it one more time?
How about Red Red Wine that was written by Neil Diamond? Have you asked that question yet? Mm-hmm. We should do that to him and see how he feels. But he doesn't care.
Nah, he probably be like, yeah, mm-hmm, cool.
So the message of this podcast is make things annoying for Hatfield, yes. Not us. No, I don't care about us. If you have a suggestion, feel free to write it in to us. To be fair, we probably already did it. We are finding new and entertaining ways to go about this. But I did enjoy doing these two films, and I will say that yes, we did rename them, but in the laziest way possible, to where it's just Prison and the quote Prison. And that'll count. As far as I'm concerned, they're both rewritten. So take that. Boom. Yeah, we did it. You got anything else to add, Herman?
No, I was thinking about it. You ever thought about like a 5-minute little podcast of...
Fucking Kleenex. We need a podcast where I can find a fucking Kleenex because I've been sniffing this whole time.
We got They Could Be Only One About Movies. What about They Could Be Only One About Songs?
Yeah.
Like have two songs with the same title.
That is all over the place, dude.
I know.
We just want to hear you sing? Is that why you want to do it?
Yes,
the karaoke version?
Yes, because I was thinking about it, but now I can't think of the damn songs that had the two titles.
Oh, there's what, Creep? There's three, like big name ones.
Well, TLC Creep, and what's the other Creep?
Oh, there's the Radiohead one, and then there's the Stone Temple Pilots song. They're all Creep. They all came out about the same time too. It wasn't even.
I never heard of the two Creeps.
Oh, you have.
No.
Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. If you need me to sing them, I will.
Yeah, go ahead.
But not right now.
Okay.
So for another That Can Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Ralph.
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
Good night, everybody. It's rolling around a bend. All right, let's try this again. Start talking, Herman.
Yeah, so I don't know what it picked up on, but...
well, it doesn't matter. It's just talking. That's all we're doing right now.
I was just thinking about Thanksgiving film. You said you don't think there's a lot of Thanksgiving films because...
It's number two on the holiday list, man, and it's right next to the big one. So that's the only one anyone cares about.
I actually enjoyed Thanksgiving a lot more than Christmas growing up.
Well, yeah, because it's food. Yeah, there's food. A lot of food, man.
Food, and it was always like laid back, chill. Like it came on a Thursday.
Uh huh.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know Christmas, you got 2 weeks out from school, but Thanksgiving holidays was like a whole week. Thanksgiving came on a Thursday, so you did everything that day. Movies, football games, and you still had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to eat the leftover food and chill and relax and stuff. Then going back to school. And then when you go back to school, it's kind of like you know you only have like 3 weeks of school. And then you're out again for two more weeks. So I don't know. I just felt Thanksgiving was the best because after the Christmas holidays, you knew you was in it for the long haul now.
Right.
You know? I don't know.
Okay. Let's start making your Thanksgiving movie then. Don't look at me, man. I'm just telling you what the facts are. People love Christmas. Christmas is what sells. Hallmark has the 31 movies of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You go to 96.1 The River, what's they playing? They're playing
Christmas music.
They don't have any Thanksgiving songs, do they?
Actually, Jingle Bells is officially a Thanksgiving song.
What about like the Adam Sandler Thanksgiving, like the Turkey for Me, Turkey for You song that he does? That's the only one I know of.
No.
Mm. All right, fine.
All right.
Let's get this started.